Nothing in Kolel, she given on Tehillim, Chapter Yud Ches, Pasuk Kaf Aleph, and the she has been given on Sunday, 22nd of January 2012, Kaf Zayin Teves, Toshinayin Beis. Yeah, so Tehillim Chapter Yud Ches, Pasuk Kaf Aleph. Yigmalini Hashem Kitzivki. Yigmalini Hashem, Hashem should repay me with goodness, Kitzidki according to my righteousness, Kaver Yodai according to the purity of my hands, Yoshivli, he should return things to me, or he should repay me, he should give to me according to the purity of my hands. So David HaMelech is davening that Hashem should give him good things, commensurate with his own tzidkus. Yigmaleni Hashem kitzidki, Hashem should repay me according to my righteousness. Kaver yodai, yoshivli, he should repay me according to the purity of my hands. And you can see it, so the pasuk comes as a bit of a parallel. The first half, Yigmaleni Hashem kitzidki, Hashem should repay me according to my righteousness, is very similar to Kaver yodai, yoshivli, he should repay me according to the purity of my hands. It comes to pretty much the same thing.
What about according to my averus? Because there's no man without sin, so it's a very dangerous prayer.
He's not saying according to my various, because he's saying kitzidki according to my tzidkus.
I'm just saying in balance. If you pray to Hashem to reward you according to my righteousness,
then you take that. That's true, but it's not necessary for the folk to say that, because he says the Lord rewards me according to my righteousness. Therefore, obviously, he means that if he sins, he won't be rewarded.
No, but you might get paid in the opposite way for your sins.
You might be punished.
Obviously. And as he was with Beersheba. We learn from this, but it's a very dangerous thing to ask for Hashem to pay you for your righteousness. If, who can do that?
Yeah.
Because the opposite way, I say, right, I'll pay for your righteousness, but I'll pay for your avarice as well.
Yeah, I think we'll see.
Strict goals.
So again?
He's setting himself
strict goals.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
He's not afraid of his
rhetoric. Yeah, it's very. In fact, we'll see in the Mesillas Yesharim, we'll see who quotes this pasuk, that David was certain of himself. It is amazing. He was on a magic. He knew of himself that he was righteous.
He's righteous, isn't he? He says, it depends whether or not I am.
Okay, but according to the interpretation,
he knows he is. That's why he's asking for it. And because what I'm saying is the danger he faced in saying that is that Hashem Taki might have given him a reward, or he wanted a reward for your righteousness, so I'll give you a reward for your affairs as well.
And of course, Nathan the prophet then had to reprimand him, sitting with Bathsheba, the whole incident.
Yeah,
so, there's no man who doesn't have sin. Every man ever has sin.
Rabbi Akiva is giving a shiur on David Bathsheba.
Ah, really?
Who is?
I think next week will be
Rabbi Akiva. Who is?
Rabbi Akiva.
What,
in
there?
Yeah.
What, here?
No.
Oh, in there?
Yeah, sure.
Oh. Very good. Complicated shit. Yeah, won't be easy. Okay, let's look straight away at the parallel pasuk in Shmuel base. So you've got a bookmark there. Here we are. Do you want to have a look? Is it there? Shmuel base, yeah. Shmuel base, chapter Kaf base, pasuk Kaf Aleph. Okay, so you've got the bookmark there. Yeah. Where you'll see that the pasuk is almost identical. Shmuel base, chapter Kaf base, pasuk Kaf Aleph, where the pasuk says there, Yigmaleni Hashem Katsid Kossi. We've got Katsidki. And in Shmuel base, it's Katsid Kossi. Hashem should repay me according to my righteousness. Same meaning. Kaver Yodai, according to the purity of my hands, Yoshivli, he should repay me. So it's a slight difference there. And I'll just mention straight away that the Abba Avanel, in his comparison between Shmuel, the Pesukim in Shmuel Beis, and our Pesukim in Tehillim Yud Ches, he points out something which I don't really understand. He says, because the chapter of Tehillim is for all time, for all Yidden, for davening, therefore the words are simplified. And he says, And I don't really understand this. He says it is easier to pronounce the word katsidki than it is to pronounce the word katsidkasi.
Well, what precisely is the grammatical difference between tzidkasi and tzidki?
Yeah,
isn't it that tzidkasi is a plural form?
No, tzidkasi comes from the feminine noun tzedaka,
yes.
While katsidki comes from the masculine noun tzedek. But they actually mean the same thing, righteousness or... Yeah, righteousness.
Isn't it maybe the plural, tzidkasi, is my acts of loving kindness?
No, in the plural it would be tzidkosai.
Was it in the plural?
I wasn't listening to you
properly,
I'm sorry.
I think it would be tzidkosai. I think it would be tzidkosai. But
one of them...
Sidki is based on masculine noun tzedek, tzidkasi is based on the feminine noun tzedakah, but it comes from the same thing. Now, Brahmana says it's simply easier to pronounce katsidki than it is to say katsidkasi, maybe, because it's also, just a shorter word.
Also, David himself was masculine. So we're reading this.
Yeah, I don't think that would make a difference. I don't think that would make a difference because a masculine person, a man, could still speak of a noun of something that is his in the feminine.
But if we're going according to the Abarbanel, he is saying that the psalms that we read today are for all men to read, and men will identify with the writer of the psalms, who's King David, and he was a man.
Yeah.
While maybe in Shmuel, which was not for people to read as daily prayers, it's different, it's feminine, which perhaps may be more correct. But it's for an ordinary man, if we're talking about King David, it's masculine.
It's a possibility. It's not what the Abarbanel learns, but it's a possibility, yeah? Right. Yeah, it could be.
I thought that the Abarbanel usually has very, very significant things to say, generally. I'm a fan of this, really.
Oh. I wish I understood it. I find the Abarbanel's Pirish on this chapter in Shmuel Beis really hard to understand. Last week in Shmuel Beis, comparing the two chapters. Mm-hmm. The Abarbanel also says that Kaver Yodai, according to the purity of my hands, is a reference to David saying, I never took anything that was not rightfully mine. I didn't steal, I didn't put my hand out, I didn't take any...
Which, of course, was proved wrong. In his later life, when he sent Uriah to the front and then took Bathsheba.
No, because he was justified in doing that. He had reasons for doing it. Gosh, what a comedy. We'll have to go to Rabbi Kimchish here to understand the whole story of David and Bathsheba. It's riddled with difficulty, the whole thing. The Gemara is very clear that he didn't do an Aveiro in that. But yes, it did look a bit murky.
When I was young, I learned that the Abarbanel was given privileges to Bathsheba's husband. He was given privileges to the man. It was not an Aveira other than that. He did not take her then.
Mm. Yeah.
The privileges was the Aveira that he gave the man. He saw Bathsheba and said, and gave the man.
Yeah, difficult. Yeah. Anyway, the Abarbanel says that he didn't steal this Katsidki or Katsidkosi in Shmuel Beis. He didn't steal and he didn't take any bribes. That's how the Abarbanel lands.
Yeah.
Rashi, both here in Tehillim and also in Shmuel Beis, says that this Yigmaleni Hashem Katsidki means Hashem should repay Klal Yisrael for their righteousness. Now, one particular righteous act, which righteous act we're talking about, he says the fact that Klal Yisrael followed HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the Midbar. And we refer to this, of course, it's in Yirmiyah, Perek Beis, Pasuk Beis, and we say it on Yom Ne'erayim, it's in the Haftarah, of course, on Rosh Hashanah. Haloch v'kar asav v'azne Yerushalayim, ne mekom Hashem, samchay t'lo chesed no roich, ahavas kelulo soich. Lechtech acharei bamidbar be'eretz lo zerua. You went after me into the desert, into a land that was not sown, into a desolate place, and you followed me with absolute faith into the midbar. That is the tzedek, that's the tzidkus, that's how Rashi learns, that's the tzidkus that David HaMelech is citing here. Hashem should please repay me, or repay Klal Yisrael, for that tzidkus.
And that's why it has to be in the masculine, because we're referring to David HaMelech personally. And anybody who reads this as a prayer wants to see that it's from David HaMelech. Therefore, it's got to be Tzidki and not Tzidkosi, as the Abba and Elm would like to say.
Yes, but that pirush about Klal Yisrael going into the following Hashem into the desert is brought in Rashi in Shmuel Beis, where it's got Tzidkosi. Yeah, and also in Tehillim, Rashi both places. Mm-hmm. So you can't make it depend on whether it's Kitzidki in the masculine or Kitzidkos in the feminine.
I want to see why it's in the masculine, and I'm coming back to Abba again. Yeah. So the fact that this Psalms are for us to read. As a prayer book, we don't read from Shmuel.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
and we personalize it, and it's got to refer to a man.
Yeah.
Well, Rabbi Abba puts it really simply. It's just it's easier to say. That's how he puts it. Okay, the Masudas Tzion in Shmuel. I'm now currently learning through some of the Farshim on the Pasuk in Shmuel base, but they are actually echoed as well in Tehillim. That Masudas Tzion knows this Kever Yodai. Kever comes from the root base reish, which means to be pure, like we say Mitzvah Sashem Bora. Bora means to be bright or to be pure, and the root of it is base reish reish, which as in borur as well, which is something which is clear, and that's how the Masudas Tzion lands. And he quotes the Targum it's apparent in the Targum as well, where the Targum's expression is kivri rus yedei, where Kivri Rus has got a base reish reish as the root. So the root of this word is base reish reish. That's how it learns. The Mahari Kra learns in Shmuel base, what is the Tzidkus here? Yigmaleni Hashem Ketzidkosi, or in our Pasuk Ketzidki, which righteous act are we talking about? We're talking about David's opportunities to kill Shaul, which he did not act on. He did not kill Shaul, and he refers to a few of them in particular. The case where David took the tzapachas hamayim, the jug of water, and also the spear from Shaul, which is recorded in Shmuel Aleph, chapter Kavvov, where he took the spear of Shaul. And the jug of water of Shaul, in order to demonstrate to Shaul, look, I had an opportunity to kill you. He came across Shaul's camp when Shaul's camp all fast asleep, and he crept in, and he had an opportunity to kill Shaul, but he refused to do so. No, I'm not going to touch Shaul. He's a tzaddik. He's the Mashiach Hashem. He's the anointed one of God. I'm not going to kill Shaul. And instead, he merely took the jug and the spear in order to demonstrate to Shaul that, in fact, he came in peace, and he had an opportunity to kill Shaul, but didn't. I think he had been, I can't remember. I think he had been, but despite that, he said, Shaul is still the Mashiach Hashem. Okay, I've been anointed too, but so was Shaul. And so I'm not going to touch Shaul. He refused to harm Shaul in any way. And in fact, there in Shmuel Aleph, chapter Kaf Vav, Posuk Kaf Gimel, David says, Vashem Yoshiv Lo Ish Es Tzidkoso. A very similar expression to what you've got here. Kever Yodai Yoshiv Li. So they've got Hashem Yoshiv Lo Ish Es Tzidkos. Hashem should repay to the man his righteousness. Which man? Me. Hashem should repay me for my righteousness. Ve'esem Menosa and his faith. Hashem Esoncha Hashem Hayom Biyod. Because Hashem has handed me over today into my hand. V'lo avisa b'shlach yodi b'mashiach Hashem, but I didn't agree to stretch out my hand and to kill the Mashiach Hashem, the anointed one of God. So for all that, for the righteous act he's talking about is the act of having the opportunity to kill Shaul and yet not doing so. You have exactly the same thing is brought in the Alshich on our chapter in Tehillim.
Excuse me, why does he use the word
Tzidkosi
again, the feminine?
Tzidkosi,
yeah,
it is there. Tzidkosi, there it is in Shmuel Aleph Kafvov Kaf Gimel. Vashem Yoshev Ishes Tzidkoso.
These are David's words.
Yes.
Can I suggest the reason?
Please.
Because this is a passive action. It's not an active action of David's. He refrained from using his spear.
Yes.
He did not kill Shaul. Therefore it's passive, therefore it's feminine.
Oh, like inactivities.
Yes. Showing a weaker side, you mean?
Yes.
Very nice chat. Very nice chat, yeah. Because it was an active. We're going to come on to the passive and active business in our apostle much later. Yeah.
David's righteous acts is emphasized because whereas he did not kill Shaul, Shaul repaid him but continued to chase after him.
Yeah, eventually though, Shaul made peace with David, realizing that David really did mean no harm.
Did this act of sparing him and showing the jug and then the spear, did that cause a reconciliation between them?
Yes, I think it did.
Not really.
But temporary.
The episode of Jonathan happened afterwards.
Yes.
When Jonathan tells him that don't come because Shaul is still after him.
It was afterwards.
Yeah, was that after that? After? Was it?
So I can't remember.
So, what I was saying just now, his righteousness is emphasised by the fact that Shaul continued to chase after him even after.
Exactly.
I think the incident of David and Yemison with the family feast on Rosh Chodesh with the arrows comes before. This incident here, I think this incident here comes very close to the end of, yes, it comes very close to the end of Shaul's life. But Shaul did make Shaul.
It's still after David, even after this incident.
I think so, but I think there was one more brush with Shaul and between Shaul and David, and David again demonstrated that he had an opportunity to kill Shaul and made peace. Might have been with I think it might have been that case of cutting off the mi'il, the corner of the coat.
But then David was showing remorse for that because it was disrespectful.
Yeah, disrespectful to the clothing, but it did the trick in brokering a peace treaty between the two of them. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The answer is this.
Peace treaty between the two.
Well, not a formal peace treaty, but they made Shalom. They definitely made Shalom in the end. Definitely made Shalom. And Dagon had such tremendous respect for Shaul, you know,
even at the time of the battle, one level, when they said David is, you know, Shaul's killed his thousands, David has killed his tens.
That was much earlier. That was right at the beginning of, that was early in Shaul's reign, when David began to eclipse, when David's achievements eclipsed those of Shaul. Mm-hmm. Much, much earlier. Yeah, it was much earlier. Yeah. Okay.
So when the peace was made between them, what happened to Shaul's daughter who had married David, who was given over to someone else who didn't consummate the marriage?
Yeah.
What happened to her?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Palti ben Laish. David had already... I can't remember.
Shaul was David's father-in-law.
Yes.
But that was Michal.
Michal. What happened to her when they had the peace between them? Was she returned to David? Or what happened?
I don't think anything is mentioned about Michal.
Yeah, I can't remember. Was Michal the wife who was returned?
Michal was the wife of David.
Yeah, but was it that wife who was given back to Palti to Ben Laish? I can't remember. Wait a minute. That wife came back. That wife who had been, who went to Palti Ben Laish came back. I think. Oh yeah, I can't remember. I think it was Avner who accompanied her back to David.
He put a sword between them.
Yeah,
in the
so they
wouldn't come near each other.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't refuse to consummate the marriage. I'm just wondering what happened when there was a peace between David and his father-in-law. What happened to Michal?
I think that wife had, if it was Michal, I can't remember now which wife it was. I think that wife had already gone back to David. I think.
I don't think so. I don't think so because there's the incident when David was welcoming the Oro and he was dancing in front of him.
And
his wife said, you know, you're dancing, why are you dancing in front of Hashem like this? You know, crazy.
And that was Michal.
That was Michal.
was way before this.
No, this was after the Sati. This is
no, it was way before this. And that's what her punishment was. She never had children.
Yes, that's right.
And one of the reasons she couldn't have gone back to David because she'd married. Halacha, if she had married, and she was consummated, she couldn't go back to her husband. Her own husband. So that was her punishment.
I can't remember.
Yes. But this incident of the dancing in front of the Oran, when was that?
It was an early stage.
That was an early stage. So why was
it
this?
It couldn't be. It was after Shaw's death. It must have been.
He was welcoming the Oran.
It must have been.
It would have been Shaw's death.
Shaw died right at the end of Shmuel Aleph.
Can I ask you,
we need to make a certain amount of progress. I mean, we're getting actually. Ask a question,
please.
Okay. All right. Matsudas David learns that this in Shmuel Beis, and I think in Tehillim as well, that Yigmaleni Hashem Kitzidkosi, as it is in Shmuel Beis. Which Tzidkos we're talking about? He says the fact that I never really did evil to other people. Shelo Hariyosi Esachad Mehem. I didn't do evil to one of them. To whom I'm not quite sure, but he says he didn't do evil to any one of them. Okay, let's move on to the Shatim in Tehillim. Yeah, so in Tehillim, Yigmaleni Hashem Ketzidki, which Tzidkus? Rashi there says it's the Tzidkus of Klal Yisrael following HaKadosh Baruch Hu blindly and with total faith into the Midbar. And he also, Rashi brings a second shot, that he says when David cut off the corner of the Me'il of Shaul, he didn't kill Shaul. Again, very similar to what we learned earlier, the Tzidkus of not having killed Shaul despite the opportunity. And that incident of cutting off the coat, the corner of the coat, is in Shmuel Aleph and it's chapter Kaf Dalet. The Ibn Ezra learns, why is it, he says, Kaver Yodai Yoshevi, according to the purity of my hands, Hashem should repay me. Why the hands? And he says, very simply, he says, because most actions are performed with one's hands. Most actions form with hands. So Kaver Yodai means my actions, according to the purity of my actions, but it simply uses the word hands because it's the hands that are used. Oh. Now, the Medrash Tanchuma, very interesting piece of Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Noso. Let's have a look. Right, the Medrash Tanchuma says it's in Parshas Noso, and it is Os Kafches. Yeah. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, Hoyudor Shemes Hashemos. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha darshaned, they explained the names of the Nesiim as recorded in Parshas Noso. So we know that in Noso we've got the Nesiim, because we lane it, all the laning which is so very repetitive, all what the Nesiim brought, when the Nesiim brought their Karbonos at the beginning of the Mishkan. Now there, in chapter Zion, Pasuk Memches, we have there Bayom Hashvi'i Nasi Livnei Ephraim. We're concentrating on the names of the son of the Nesiim for the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, sons of Yosef. So there, in Noso, chapter Zion, Pasuk Memches, Bayom Hashvi'i on the seventh day, that's the seventh of Nisan, Nasi Livnei Ephraim, the Nasi for the tribe of Ephraim, and who was that? Elishama ben Amihud. Okay, so Reb Meir and Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, they gave an explanation behind his names. What does it mean, Elishama? Eli Shama, he, that's Yosef, the ancestor of this Elishama ben Amihud, who came from the tribe of Ephraim. Eli Shama, Yosef listened to me, Vela Adonoso Lo Shama, but he didn't listen to the mistress. His mistress, i.e., Potiphar's wife, his master's wife, Potiphar's wife, who tried to seduce him, and Yosef refused to listen. So the name Elishama is made up of Eli Shama. He listens to me. It's a contraction of those two words. And what about this word Ben Amihud? Amihud, Ami Hoyahodo Velo Am Acher. The glory for Yosef was my people. i.e. Klal Yisrael, v'lo amache, not another nation. You might have thought that Yosef felt that his glory and that the glorified nation would be the Egyptians. After all, he was the head of state in Egypt. So he would have thought that Yosef had felt that the Mitzrayim were glorified. So he says, no. Amihud, the name Amihud is a contraction of Ami, my people, Klal Yisrael Hoyahudo. That was his glory. He found glory in Klal Yisrael, v'la machem, not in another name. And I find the same thing as well with the next one, who is Gamliel ben Pedotzer, and there in Pasuk, it's the same chapter 9, Pasuk Nundalad, by Yom Hashmini, the next tribe, on the eighth day, Nosil ibn Menashe was the prince for the tribe of Menashe, and who is that? Gamliel ben Pedotzer. And now, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon Karcha explain that name, Gamliel ben Pedotzer. What does that mean? V'chin Gamliel ben Pedotzer. Omar Yosef, Yosef said, what does this mean, Gamliel? Gomal Kael Ami Gemulim Tovim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu repaid my people with a good repayment. In other words, he looked after us. That's in the idea, that's the word Gamliel. Gomal El Ami Gemulim Tovim. Sorry, Gomal Kael, I got that wrong. Gomal Kael Ami. God bestowed good upon my people, Gemulim Tovim, with good favours. And what does it mean, Ben Pedotzer? Is Padoni Tzur Mitzarosi Nebes HaSohar. The rock of Klal Yisrael redeemed me from my troubles in the prison. That's Pedotzer, is Padotzer. The rock redeemed me from the prison. V'chein kisev, and based on that, we now quote our Pasuk in Tehillim chapter Yud Ches Pasuk Kaf Aleph, Yigmaleni Hashem Ketzivki, Hashem should repay me according to my righteousness, Kever Yodai Yoshivli, He should repay me according to the purity of my hands. So we're saying that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu should repay me in the same way that Yosef recognized that Hashem had repaid his people, had redeemed him and had repaid his people with goodness. Amrav Shmobar Ami Mahu Kever Yodai. What does it mean, Kever Yodai, in that pasuk, according to the purity of my hands? Keverius Yodai, according to the purity of my hands, Shehoyisi Borur B'mitzvos, because I was clear in my performance of mitzvos, Yigmeleni Hashem, so Hashem should repay me. And then goes on to extol the virtues of Yosef. Kol Adam Shehu Oni, Yorei Min HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anybody who's poverty stricken is automatically fearful of Hashem. Uchashu Ashir, but the sad fact might well be that once once he becomes wealthy, Boteach Ba'osho, he starts trusting in his own wealth and he loses faith in Hashem. For in all of Yerushalayim, he doesn't have so much fear of heaven. Aval, but Yosef, Kesheya Eved, when Yosef was a servant, Yorei as Hashem, he feared Hashem. Kesheya Adonosa Mishadalto, when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, V'huom Melo, he said to her, V'eich e'esa hora'a gadon azos, V'chotasi lelikim. How can I do this terrible thing? And I'll sin I'll be sinning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the Pasuk in Vayeshev, it's chapter Lama Tes, Pasuk Tes. How can I do this terrible bad thing? I'll be sinning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that is a siman that when Yosef was a downtrodden slave, he had Yirah Shemayim, he feared HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But once he became a king, or in effect the head of state of Mitzrayim, Hosif Yira, he had even more fear. Shenema, a pasuk in Miketz, chapter Mem Beis, pasuk Yud Ches, where he says, "Vayom Alem Yosef, Vayom Hashlishi Zos Asuvichu." He tells his brothers who've come to him to buy some food, and he says to them on that third day, Eser lekim ani yorei, I fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we see that Yosef had even more fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu once he became a melech, even more than when he was poverty stricken in a downtrodden prisoner. So we see from this that Yosef contrasts very strongly with an average run-of-the-mill person who may well fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu in times of difficulty when he's an oni, but who will cease to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu once he becomes wealthy and he feels he can trust in his own wealth. At any rate, what do we see from here? We see on that word Gamliel ben Pedotzer, Gomal Kel a lie, that Hashem has repaid me. And the Medrash Tanchuma quotes our pasuk as well, Yigmaleni Hashem Kitzidki. It's a reference to Yosef, who said, Hashem has repaid me according to my righteousness and rescued me from the prison.
Well, what's the connection between Yosef and David?
I don't know, and there might not be a connection. It could be that David, according to this Medrash Tanchuma, David is writing about Yosef. That's how it works.
They were both kings.
Pardon?
They were both kings.
Both kings, yeah, that's true.
That's really a connection. It's a question of their attitudes once they were kings.
Yeah. The Medrash Shechetov on our pasuk, Yigmaleni Hashem Kitzidki, Hashem should repay me according to my righteousness, Kaver Yada Yashvi should repay me according to the purity of my hands, says the Medrash Shechetov, we're speaking about the tribe of Levi. We've got three people here from the tribe, four people from the tribe of Levi. Wow, you're much outnumbered, Uncle Louis. We're all from the tribe of Levi. Yeah, tribe of Levi, who didn't serve the Egel. And it's a reference to that event. Hashem should repay me for my tzidkus, i.e. for the tzidkus of the tribe of Levi, for not worshipping the idol, Egel. They didn't join in with Klal Yisrael. Right, the Yalkut Miam Lois on our pasuk says, Yigmaleni Hashem Kitzidki, Hashem should pay me according to my righteousness. What type of righteousness are we talking about? Ben Adam Lamokim. He should repay me according to the purity of my hands. What kind of purity of your hands are we talking about? They're not of Machaveru. So both types of mitzvahs are referred to in our pasuk. Tzidkus, Ketzidki, Benotan Amokim, Kaver Yodai, Benotan Machaveru. Then the Alchem Amnes goes on to say, oh, this is a beautiful piece.
I don't think there are any further connections with that explanation.
What, as to why?
Why the first. Why Kitzidki referred to Adam Lamokom,
yeah,
and the second part to Adam Lachaveru?
Yeah, why should it be that way round?
Yes,
I don't know. Yeah,
he's making a statement, but he's not supporting it.
Yeah. I don't think he does support it. I can't remember. I don't know. Maybe
does he further continue with something?
Pardon?
Does he continue further?
He's got other pshatim as well, but that particular pshat, I don't think he brings a proof as to why Kitzidki should refer to Ben Adam Lamokim and why Kaver Yodai should refer to Ben Adam Lachaveru. That I don't know.
Perhaps because Yodai is your hands, which is something physical, and you use it in interaction between yourself and your fellow man. So it refers to Adam Lachaveru.
Yeah.
While Tzidkus is something that only Hashem can ultimately recognize.
Could be, and therefore be not on a model. Could be. The Alchemist goes on to say as follows, very interesting. Let's start with the Gemara. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, a big machlokus, it's on Daf Vav Amud Beis in Sanhedrin, machlokus Tanoim, or maybe it's Hamaroim, whether Bitsua is a good thing or a bad thing. Now, Bitsua means compromise. When it comes to a Din Torah, should the Dayanim try to find a compromise or not? Also known as a Pshara, a compromise. Is it a good thing or not? Now, as a Machlokes, Rabbi Shimon Karcha learns, Mitzvah Livtsoa. It's a mitzvah to find a compromise. So Reuven's claiming money from Shimon, and Shimon denies it. Try and find some kind of compromise. And he says it's a mitzvah to do so. And in fact, we paskin like that. Rabbi Eliezer ben Oshel, Rabbi Yosi Aglivi holds the exact opposite. Osur livtsoa. It's forbidden to find a compromise. Why? Because if Reuven is claiming from Shimon, well, either Reuven's right or Shimon's right. You try and find a middle path, and you'll end up with two unhappy people.
In the famous judgment of King Solomon, he adopted the second attitude, not the one of compromise. He threatened to kill the baby.
Then he found out the truth.
As to who was the baby's mother.
Yeah, but that wasn't based on a... That was based on a chachma beyond the letter of the law. It was a chachma in order to force one to admit the truth. Yeah.
This is the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't as popular when they came to mourn for Aaron HaKohen. The mourning was more intense because he's made peace between the man and his fellow man and his wife, but with compromise. Moshe gave din exactly according to the Torah, with no compromise. And I think this is probably what we're referring to here.
And of course, the blessing of the Kohanim is with the hands. It signified because that links with Adam, Bein Adam, Lechaveru,
yes,
in the verse.
Moshe is the lawgiver. He gives the law. And so that's I think it's a reference.
Yeah.
Right. Now, let's quote from this Gemara here in Sanhedrin. So we've got this machlokas whether it's a mitzvah lift soar to find a compromise or whether it's also lift soar. Very interesting machlokas, and it goes on for quite a long time in the Gemara. So the Gemara says there in Sanhedrin Vav Amid Beis, V'chein B'David. Yeah. V'chein B'David Hu Omer. Oh, so he brings a proof. Listen to this proof. One of the proofs. We've got a pasuk about David, which says, and the pasuk is in Shmuel Beis chapter Ches, pasuk Tesvav. Pasuk says, "Vayimlech David al kol Yisrael." This is the pasuk first. "Vayimlech David al kol Yisrael." David reigned over all of Klal Yisrael. "Vayi David oseh mishpat utzedakah lechol amo." And David performed judgment and righteousness or charity for all his people. Now the Gemara questions this pasuk. It's an amazing. Listen to this kasha. And so with David, we find a pasuk. David oseh mishpat tzedakah. That David performed judgment and righteousness. Says the Gemara, that's a contradiction. V'halo kol mokem sheish mishpat ein tzedakah. If you've got judgment, that's not charity, that's not righteousness. Judgment means the strict letter of the law. Reuven's claiming from Shimon, and the Dayanim...
Tzedek tzedov, which implies that justice is correctness, which is an aspect of judgment. Justice.
Tzedek, justice.
We translate that as justice.
Tzedek is not... Tzedek is charity.
Yeah, but it's also translated as justice in some versions.
Okay.
Yeah, and this is an aspect of mishpat.
Could be. Okay. All right.
And therefore, only a king can actually apply this to his people in the same way as Moshe was a lawgiver, and it was his role to apply tzedek, justice. And while say a kohen like Aaron would make peace and use his and with the symbol of the kohanim, the hands, the blessing of peace, as in our verse. Kabay or die, or should believe. And that it comes back to the verse in Tehillim. Katsidki refers to the king or the lawgiver, either David or Moshe, applying tzedek, justice, while the Yodai refers to the Kohen who makes peace, like Aaron.
I mean, it could be. I didn't see that shot anywhere that the Kavod Yodai is referenced to the hands of Kohanim. Well, I haven't seen that.
He's applying that reference you made to which you didn't explain fully.
Yeah.
Which I'm trying to find an explanation for.
Which one are you talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
Yes.
Could be, yeah.
And you've got to refer specifically, I think, to the blessing of the priests. Bichas Kohanim.
It's a possibility. I haven't seen that anywhere, but it's a possibility. Mm. Yeah? Oh, so let's see how the Gemara questions this pasuk. V'chim David oseh mishpat tzedakah, says the Gemara, simple kasha, v'halo kol mokem sheish mishpat ein tzedakah. Any place where you have judgment, you do not have charity. Why? Because judgment means that the Beis Din hear the case, and they judge in favor, let's say, of Reuven, and that is mishpat. Well, they're not being charitable to Reuven, they're not being charitable to Shimon. They're finding what they believe to be the truth of the case. Utzadokah, and likewise, if you've got charity in Mishpat, you don't have judgment. Charity means, I feel sorry for you, so I'm going to be a Mr. Nice Guy to you. Well, that's not necessarily Mishpat, that's not necessarily justice, it's charity.
Utzadokah is still maintained. That means justice.
The Gemara here is comparing, because you've got the both words together, mishpat utzadokah, and mishpat definitely means justice. Therefore, in contrast,
mishpat means judgment.
Judgment, okay, judgment. So that, yeah, judgment. Therefore, in contrast to mishpat, tzedakah does not mean judgment, it means charity.
I'm not saying it means judgment, I'm saying it means justice, which is slightly different from judgment. Judgment is the application of justice.
Yeah, but the Gemara is understanding this word here, tzedakah, to mean a charitable act, which is not necessarily in keeping with the strict letter of the law. It means being kind to a downtrodden party.
But ultimately, the two should be one.
We'll see how they might merge. But the Gemara's got a kasha that Vayhi Dovid Oseh Mishpat Tzedakah seems to be a contradiction in terms. How can he have Mishpat alongside Tzedakah? Mishpat is the strict letter of the law, and Tzedakah is a charitable act which may well not be a strict letter of the law. That's the Gemara's kasha. Yeah?
The reason is because in the Shemayim, the two are one.
Yes.
And we are trying to establish on this earth, we're trying to anticipate what's happening up above. So it's our duty to try and combine these two. So it is a combination.
And this is why Sanhedrin very rarely actually applied the ultimate sanction of capital punishment.
Yeah.
Very, not even recorded.
The law was capital punishment.
Yes, yeah, yes.
They have an answer to this. Oh. And Mishpat is what was, and this is slightly B'Shem Rav HaKinchi, well, because I went to his share yesterday. Now, Mishpat is what was delivered by the Sanhedrin. Now, Tzedakah may mean what the king was entitled to do, even if it was not strictly according to the law. According to the law, because when the prophet came to King David, when was it now? When Nasan Novi, he said, please judge this case. What do you think if a rich man stole? And he said, it's got to be put to death. Now, that is not strictly according. It's not strictly according to the law.
Yeah.
According to halacha, but the king had authority to put away people who he felt, even though it wasn't strictly according to the law, to keep these people away from the society.
You mean he was judging the case according to Nosson?
No. Nosson asked him what would be the din in this case. But that wasn't a din according to the Sanhedrin, that was a din according to what the king had the authority to do.
But you say, you have authority within the law.
No, it wasn't strictly according to the law.
How was the incident resolved in that particular case?
In that particular case, he said,
you are the man.
And then he said,
yes. But this was a prophetic input from Nathan.
Yeah.
And a prophet has Nebuah.
Mm-hmm.
And his parables, we believe, come from Hashem. And therefore, his angle on this was slightly different from that of what you say a Sanhedrin would do. So ultimately, justice resides between the two. True justice.
Maybe, but they're functions of two particular.
Two different roles. They're two different roles. Yes.
The king couldn't act.
Very difficult concept.
The Miller couldn't act outside Torah. He carried the witness.
A king can kill without a beis din, without aidin, without hasara.
Okay.
Outside the Torah, he can disobey the law.
It's not outside the Torah.
Only is a king who is anointed by Hashem.
No, the Torah.
Not just an ordinary king.
Not to Malchus.
The Torah allows a king who is anointed properly to take certain action in the public interest.
In accordance with the Torah.
No.
It is in accordance with the Torah. It's just not the normal.
No, because the Torah allows him to do this.
That's right. It's not the normal.
When does the Torah allow him to do this?
When?
Where does it say in the Torah?
Probably in the beginning of Pasha Shoftim.
That is an example.
Yeah. A melech has a right. A melech has a right to be mechayev someone misa without a beis din, without hasara, without aidin.
He decides that the man deserves it.
That's right.
But it's got to be in accordance with the Torah.
Yeah. Yes.
You can't he is the Melech is the embodiment of the Torah. He's there. He carries the Torah. He goes into battle with it.
To act.
He gives him the power to
minister.
Say for example, right? Say for example, if to Sanhedrin let someone off on a technicality, okay? All right, the king comes along and says, yes, that may well be, but this person is definitely guilty. It's been proved circumstantial evidence. He is allowed to come along and say, well, it is in the interest of everybody that this man should be put away.
But he's the ultimate court.
Yes.
He's the ultimate court. Absolutely. Mm. But within the Torah.
No, just within the Torah.
Yes, within the Torah gives him permission to act.
Yes, because this.
Oh, okay. Let's see how the Gemara resolves this problem. I've got this pasuk about David. Once again, we've got the pasuk is in Shmuel Beis chapter Ches pasuk Tesvav. I David Osem Mishpot Tzedakah, and the Gemara questions how can you have these two living side by side? Mishpot and Tzedakah are surely two opposites. That's the Gemara's kasha. Elobat, says the Gemara in Sanhedrin Vavamid Beis, Ezehu Mishpot Sheyesh Bo Tzedakah. What kind of judgment is there, or justice is there, which contains tzedakah, charity? Heveomer Zebitzua. One would say that this is a compromise. So from here we have a proof that it's a mitzvah liftsoa. It's a mitzvah to make a compromise. This is a proof for Rabbi Shimon Karcha, who holds mitzvah l'tzor. It's a mitzvah to make some kind of compromise. So it'll be a mishpot, it'll be a judgment with an element of tzedakah, of charity or righteousness within it, that the Beis Din should try and find a compromise. Now, says the Gemara, okay, fine, this is a great proof that it's a mitzvah l'tzor, a mitzvah to make a compromise. Says the Gemara, Ason la Tanakama. How will the Tanakama answer this? How will the Rabbi Elezer, the son of Rabbi Yosi Aglili, answer this? Rabbi Elezer, the son of Rabbi Yosi Aglili, holds it's also to make a compromise. He's got to answer that posuk. How does he explain that posuk? Says the Gemara, he explains that David had a singular method of mishpat. He explains this pasuk as follows. Dones Hadin, David HaMelech would judge a case, Ziko es hazakai, v'chiev es hachayev, and he would find one man guilty and one man innocent, or in a case of typically we're not going to be talking about innocent and guilty, we're really talking about a civil case, one person wins the case and the other person loses the case. V'ro'ah, if David then saw, shenischayev oni momen, that a poor person is chayev to pay money, he finds that the person who lost the case and therefore owes money, if David realized this man was an oni, what did he do? V'shilem lo mituch beso, so David would pay the money for him from his own private funds. Zeh mishpat tzedakah, this is a combination of judgment and tzedakah and charity. How? Mishpat lozeh Utsadokah lozeh. It's mishpot for the winner of the case because he's found in his favour, and it's tzedakah lozeh, and it's tzedakah for the loser of the case because David realised this man he's lost the case by rights, he's lost the case, he can't afford to pay, so I'll pay for him. Mishpat lozeh shehechzir lo mamon. It's a judgment for this one because he's got his money back to him. Utsadokah lozeh, and it's a tzedakah, charity for the loser. Why? Sheshilim lo mituch beso, because he's paid for him from his own home. He's from his own private money.
So how does Shlomo's judgment come into this?
Shlomo's judgment was a judgment based on trying to force, eke out the truth, to try and force someone. That was a judgment not necessarily based on financial,
on life, exactly.
Yeah. But at the same rate, we see from this, so that's how Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Yosef, literally explains our posuk. Explains this posuk in Shmuel Beis. He did mishpat for the winner of the case, and he did tzedakah for the loser of the case by paying for him. Okay.
So perhaps Shlomo's judgment was an example of the right of a king to actually do tzedek, justice,
yes,
in an absolute way,
because
he is the king that we believe is anointed by Hashem. Especially in the case of Shlomo, who was the son of David.
Yeah.
And the builder of the temple.
Yeah.
Oh. Now, says the Yalkut Miam Lilies, that's what we've got in our Pasuk. Yigmaleni Hashem Kitsitki. So the Yalkut Miam Lilies explains, this is what our Pasuk means. David performed this tzedakah for the loser of the case. If he was an Oni and he couldn't afford to pay, David performed tzedakah. So the Yalkut Miam Lilies says, that's the Pshat in our Pasuk. Yigmaleni Hashem Kitsitki. Hashem should repay me for that kind of tzedakah that I perform on behalf of the loser of the case who can't afford to pay, and I paid for him. That's how the Yalkut Miam Lilies explains our Pasuk. Just as a quick aside on this, the Marsha on this Gemara points out a problem. The problem that David might have faced. What's the problem? The problem is, it says, so once it became known in society that David would listen to a case, judge it according to the strict letter of the halacha, and if the loser of the case couldn't afford to pay, then David would pay out of his own funds, then there's a risk. There's a risk that two people would get together in cahoots, a rich man and a poor man. And the rich man, and then they're in cahoots together, and they frame David. How? By the rich man claiming money from the poor man, being able to prove that the poor man owes him money. David brings the case before David. David listens to the case, finds the rich man to be the winner of the case and the poor man to be the loser of the case. David pays out the money on behalf of the poor man, whereupon the poor man and the rich man split it between them. Mm-hmm. A kumunya, exactly, thank you. That was the word that the Marshal uses, thank you. A kumunya.
David the Melech wasn't known to judge all cases, he had courts.
Okay, but
so it only came to him as a last resort.
Okay, but any case that he might hear, it runs. There's a risk, right? Any case that he might hear, there's a risk that you guys might get together. The kumunya, thank you for the word. Yeah,
says the Marsha. We have a pasuk in Tehillim chapter Kuf Yud Tes, pasuk Kuf Kaf Aleph. Osisi mishpat v'tzedek. I have performed, says David, I performed judgment and righteousness. Echoing this whole business. I perform righteousness by finding the one man to be the winner and the other man to be the loser, and not tzedek, and I've also paid out where the loser of the case can't afford to pay. Then he says, Bal tani cheni le'oshkoi, don't hand me over to those who try to extort money from me. Says the Marsha, that's pshat in that pasuk. Bal tani cheni le'oshkoi. David was davening that although I've got this hanhaga of judging righteously, judging according to the letter of the law, and then paying out on behalf of the loser if he can't afford to pay, I daven to Hashem that I shouldn't have to face anybody who sets up a kanunya. Bal tani cheni le'oshkoi. Don't hand me over. Don't let me become victim to any evil plots that two guys double dealing that two people might hatch against me. Yeah, isn't that a nice pshat? That's in the Marsha. Yeah. It pays to do chazor on my notes, because I wrote these notes about a week and a half ago, and last night I was doing chazor on it, so I should be ready for the shir, and I thought, I'll just see if the Marshal says anything on this Gemara, and I came up with that Marshal, so it was a wonderful extra. Good. Okay. Mesillas Yeshayim. Now, I'm grateful for this piece of Mesillas Yeshayim to my wonderful son Yaakov Chaim, who keeps up with what's going on in the shir. He's in yeshiva, he keeps up with what's going on in the shir, and he... And when I told him I'm up to this pasuk Kaf Aleph, he says, "Ah, Daddy, the Mesillas Yeshayim quotes this pasuk. Well, I would never have known it. The Mesillas Yeshayim quotes the pasuk near the end of Perek Yud, and he's speaking about the middah of Nikius, cleanliness. Well, that goes hand in hand with our pasuk Kaver Yodai, according to the cleanliness of my hands. So, in the middle of Nikius, he speaks about the middle of Nikius. Now, he points out, let me just get this, oh, keep it this. Ah, here we are. Right, it's towards the end of Perek Yud in the Mesillas Yeshayim. Kiva Emes, he says, in truth, Rak Misha Yinoke Legamri, Mikol Nidnut Chet V'Oven, only someone who's utterly, utterly clean and clear of any small type of Avera, even he's got an absolutely clean slate. Who Haro'i Liros Espanei HaMelech Hashem? Only he is the one who is fitting to view the face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the King.
Well, isn't that verse also from Tehillim? Who can ascend the mountain of
Avera? Mi'an HaShem. Clean heart. Yeah, yeah. Kyo'an. Nikich HaPayim. Yes, Nikich HaPayim. Yeah.
Where is that in Tehillim? Oh, yeah, I can't remember. Yeah, I've no idea where it is in Tehillim. I can tell you, I can guarantee you it's not in the first 18 chapters of Tehillim, but I can't guarantee more than that. Yeah. Oh, so he says, Kizula said, besides that, Ein lo elo levosh ul hekalim elfanov. Because only someone who's absolutely clean, otherwise he's merely got embarrassment and he should be ashamed of our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Then he goes on to say, Vehne, I'm skipping a little bit, I'm not doing this in sequence. Vehne, and behold, Vadai, for sure, ki malocha rabo hi la'odom. It's a tremendous work for a man, lahagia el shlemus hamidazos, to reach the perfection of such a middah of nikius, of cleanliness. Why? Ki haveros hamikoros viduos, because well known averos, kalos heme shame mehema, is actually easy to be on the guard from, to be on one's guard from them. Why? Kimishara osun galia, because their evil is well known. Ach, but what is required for this level of cleanliness is tremendous detail and care. Hu ha-kosha yosef. That's very difficult. Why? Ki ha-ro'as ha-heta mechasa al-acheit. Because a person can always talk himself into thinking that something is permitted. Yeah, he says you can fool yourself into thinking something is permitted. A well-known aveiro, people can actually stay clear of them, but averus that are not so well known, it's you can easily talk yourself into saying that they're okay. The Chumash Kasavtis I've written in other places. The Huchinin Masham is the Bracha. He now quotes the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Ches. Averus Adam Dosh Ba'akivov. The averus that a person crashes with his foot. Sovavos Oso Bishas Adim. They surround a person at the time of his judgment. In other words, averus that a person does not think twice about. The person doesn't even think it's so terrible. Well, derech zeh omru zichon and vachon, on that basis, Chazal tell us in Baba Basra, and it's on Daf Kuf Samach Hei Omud Aleph, Rubom Begozel, the majority of people are chayev, are guilty of theft, of some sorts. Umiyutam, but only a small number, bo arayos, only a small number of people are guilty of avarice of immorality. V'chulam ba'avak l'shen hara, that everybody's chayev for avak l'shen hara, for like just the small elements of l'shen hara, even not absolutely explicit l'shen hara, but something which is maybe implicit l'shen hara. Kimi pnei ruv takusa, because of its tremendous detail, kol b'nei adam nechshalim bo, everybody falls prey to that avera, b'mashe in makirim es, because they don't realize it. And then he says, then he quotes a pasuk from also from our chapter Yud Ches, and it's chapter Yud Ches. Erdof Ovai Vaasigim. David HaMelech Davened. Erdof. 1 minute. Let me find this. I think it's Hoset Lamed. No. Pasulamaches in our chapter Yudches, Eredof Ovai Vasigim, I will chase my enemies and I'll catch up with them. Velo Ashuv, and I won't go back out to Kalusim until they're completely finished off. This is David HaMelech davening to Hashem for success in war. What gave David the confidence to daven for such a thing? So he says as follows. David was so careful and kept himself utterly clean from all these things, that Al-Kanan therefore he went out to war with phenomenal confidence in Hashem that he would succeed.
The indication of the fact that he composed the Tehillim is an indication of the fact that he was pure in heart.
Yes, yeah.
And he did not commit lashon hara. He praised Hashem all through his poetry.
Absolutely, in a similar vein. He says, but here as well, you know, he goes out to war with total confidence for Yashoel, and he would ask, David would ask, and it's a pasuk in Tenim Yudches, pasuk Lamed Ches, Eredof Ovai Vasigim, I'll chase my enemies, I'll catch up with them, Beloashulat Kalos, and I won't come back till they're finished off. Now, says the Mesilis Tishorim, Mashelo Shalu Yehoshaphat Asa V'Chizkiah, other kings, even good kings, didn't dare ask for such a thing. Yehoshaphat, Asa, Chizkiah, these were good tzaddikim, and yet they didn't ask for such things. Why? Because they weren't quite so clean as all that, as David was.
King Josiah.
Yeah,
the one who found the book of Devarim in the temple.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then he fell in battle against the Egyptians.
Yeah, yeah.
After instituting a revolution and bringing the whole people back to Judaism.
I think the Gemara says that Josiah was a tremendous tzaddik as long as his uncle, the Kohen Gadol, was alive. But once, and I can't remember, what was the name of that uncle? I can't remember the name of the uncle. He was looked after by this uncle Anat, who hid him. But once they died, he didn't quite have the same kach anymore. And he didn't, well, he didn't keep his high ideas.
From the Egyptians.
Yeah.
But he was still a tzaddik at the same time.
Yeah.
He doesn't name Yeshua HaMelech. He doesn't name him here. Omash, and then he says, and now he quotes our posik. This is what I'm dealing with. The Hu Masha Omar Hu Atzmo, and this is what David HaMelech himself says Besuch Devarvid in his words. And he quotes our posik. Yigmeleni Hashem Kitzidki, Hashem should repay me according to my righteousness. Kaveriyot Ayoshivli, according to the purity of my hands, he should repay me. The Od Omar, and then later on he says, and this is coming up in our chapter, posik Kaf Hei, Vayoshev Hashem Ni Chesidki, Hashem has repaid me according to my righteousness. Kaveriyot Ay Leneged Einov, according to the purity of my hands, lenegadeno before his eyes. Yeah, v'hu habar v'hanikoyen, and that's the purity and the cleanliness. Hazer shezochanu. This is this purity that he had. V'oz chozav v'omar, and then he goes on to say, and that's the posuk now in our chapter, posuk lamed. Yeah, ki v'cha oretz gudud. In you, Hashem, I will chase, I will run as a with my band of soldiers. Uvelokai, and with absolute trust in my God, Adalek, sure, I'll be able to jump over a wall. That's the pasuk coming up. It's in our chapter, pasuk Lamed. He's saying, when I go out to fight with my band of soldiers, when I need to jump over a wall as part of a war, I do so with utter faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he'll look after me. Why? Because I have reached this tremendous level of Nikiris. Oh, look at this. And then he quotes the pasuk. Oh, Reb Stephen. He quotes the pasuk. V'hu atzmo omar od, and that's what he says later on in chapter Kaf Dalad. Miyale v'har Hashem, the pasuk you quoted. Who can climb the mountain of Hashem? Miyokum umkem kotcho, nikicha pamavar levov. Only the one with clean hands and a pure heart.
Now, the reason I mention that pasuk is because in my youth, in my shul, in Willesden, that pasuk was for weeks on the signpost, on the US signpost, outside the shul.
Yeah,
in English.
And they used to put psikim up.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that verse from Tehillim was there for weeks for some reason.
So really?
Everybody noticed it.
Interesting. It struck, shows you the value of putting such a thing up. It really hit home.
You actually used to do that.
Yeah.
They had psikim up on notice boards.
Yeah.
Oh, good. So this is the Mesillas Hashem, that's how the Mesillas Hashem knows it. So we see that David has this tremendous nikius, which a cleanliness, kevar yodai, and which gave him tremendous confidence that he would win every battle. So I give a shkar to Yaakov Chaim for pointing out this piece of Mesillas Hashem to me. Rabbi Avram ben Mamoch, on our pasuk, he says very simply, Kever Yodai Yoshiv Li, according to the purity of my hands, he should repay me. He says this purity of hands means that David HaMelech was careful to avoid not just, when he says anything, Devarim Mechuarim, anything that was unpleasant, but and also theft, he says, and to be absolutely scrupulously honest in any business deal, but also to actually stay clear of anything which is Tommy. He says, "Poshup shat, simple pshat, kaver yadai, purity of my hands." In that David HaMelech did his best to avoid tumo. Well, that was difficult to consider because David was a soldier and he killed people in battle. So there's not much greater tumo than tumas meis. But
he
couldn't build the temple. He's a man of war. Yeah. But at any rate, that's how Rabbi Avraham ben Mamoch learns that David HaMelech kept away from anything, all forms of tumo, in its widest sense. Okay.
How does it deal with this problem of killing people in war?
I don't know the answer to that.
That's my kasha as well on that piece of Rabbi von Ben Ramach. You know, it means he avoided tuma, but he was a killer. He was a soldier. So I don't know. Don't know the answer to that. Oh. The Mossad Rav Kook, now someone told me that it's just published by Mossad Rav Kook, it's called Das Mikra. I always call it the Mossad Rav Kook on Tehillim, it's just published by them, but it's a sefer called Das Mikra, comments on this Pasuk, that even though the last Pasuk, Pasuk Kaf says, Yechaltzeni, Hashem will rescue me, ki chofeis me, because he delights in me, David HaMelech in our Pasuk is saying, I know that Hashem likes me. He likes me, but you know what? I can't rely on receiving special concessions from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I still need to work on myself. Yigmaleni Hashem Kitzidki, Hashem should repay me for my righteousness. I must maintain my high madrega, even though Hashem, if you like, he takes a shine to me, he likes me, nonetheless I can't rely on that, and I can't afford to rest on my laurels, and I have to constantly maintain a high madrigal. Yigmaleni Hashem kesidki, Hashem should repay me according to my righteousness, kevar yada yoshivli.
That's in a previous show where you mentioned that one should not rely on miracles.
Yeah, we learned that, yeah.
How did you continue with that?
Pardon?
How did you continue with that?
That was, if a person relies on a mace, it menachin lemizuch yosav, it takes away from his merits. Yeah, there's a price to pay, there's a price tag.
To work on his merits, and not rely completely on the mace.
That's right, yeah.
Good. Oh, now in the Sefer Zera Yaakov, which is written by Samishpocha or Rabbi Leipik, or possibly Mishpach of his wife, I never remember to check up. He quotes a Gemara in Ksubas. Now the Gemara says in Ksubas, let's get this. Here we are, Ksubas. The Gemara is in Ksubas, and it's on Daf Hei Amud Aleph. And it's a very strange piece of Gemara, and I can't really profess to fully understand it. The Gemara says in Ksubas, Daf Hei Amud Aleph, Dorash Bar Kaporo. Bar Kaporo explained, "Gedolim maase tzadikim yose mimase shomayim va'aretz." The actions of tzadikim are greater than the actions of shomayim and aretz of heaven and earth. What does that mean? The ilu b'maase shomayim va'aretz, because with respect to the creation of shomayim of heaven and earth, kasiv is a pasuk. The pasuk says in Yeshaya, and it's in Yeshaya chapter Mem Ches pasuk Yud Gimel. Here we are, Mem Ches Yud Gimel says the pasuk, Af yodi yosta eretz, my hand, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, created the foundation of the earth. Vimini, and my right hand, Tipcha Shamoyim, fashioned the heavens. So, Afyodi Yosta Eretz means my left hand fashioned the earth, created the foundations of the earth, and my right hand fashioned the heavens. And some of us would say that it seems that it's one hand on the heaven and one hand on the earth. This is a really tricky piece of Agadata, and I can't really profess to understand it. I've seen lots of Mephoshim on this Gemara, and I didn't really understand any of them. At any rate, what do we learn from this? It's Hashem used one hand for the heaven and one hand for the earth. Ve'ilu, however, b'ma'asei yedeihem shel tzadikim, when it comes to the actions of tzadikim, Kasiv, the Pasuk says, and this is of course the Pasuk from the Shira, and it's in Beshalach chapter Tesvav, Pasuk Yud Zayin. The Pasuk says, Yud Zayin. Oh, Tevye Mevsetem Mevahan Achlascha, Mocha Meshivtecha Palt Hashem. Oh, here we come. Mikadosh Hashem Kenenu Yadecha. Your base of Mikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Koninu Yadecha, your hands have fashioned it.
And I could add, perhaps, that the Birchas Kohanim, the joining of hands, is the ultimate peace. And of course, the Kohanim will practice this in the temple.
Yes. Word yes. Spirit. Yeah. Yeah. Because kind of, yeah. Absolutely.
And this is the reason for the symbolism of the hand.
The two hands. Yeah.
With reference to Hashem and to man.
Yes.
And the tzaddik.
Yes.
In between.
Oh.
Because the birchas kohanim is the ultimate act of tzedakah. As it,
yes.
I mean,
yeah, yeah.
The actual blessing.
Yes. Oh.
Oh. Now, what the Gemara is doing here in Ksubis, Taf Heir Medalef, is contrasting these two pasuk. We've got the pasuk in Yeshaya, which says Hashem created the earth with one hand and the heavens with the other hand. Whereas when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, Mikdash Hashem, Kenunu Yodecha, your hands, plural, fashioned it. So the Beis HaMikdash
is the microcosm of the world.
Yes. Yes.
This is the creation of both hands.
Of both hands. Ah, oh, so then maybe that's right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the Gemara doesn't say that, but that's a really nice pshat. Yeah. But it says that the your hands have fashioned it. Now, what does that mean? Says Rashi. Ma se yodov. What does it mean? Kenuni yodecha. Your hands, plural, have fashioned it. It's not really the hands of Hashem at all. What is it really? It's b'ma se hatzadikim kasev. It really refers to the actions of tzadikim. Shekaruim ma se shalahem ma se yodah shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because their actions are referred to as the actions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So based on this, the Gemara comes out with this very strange expression, Darash Bakapar, Gedolim Masi Tzadikim, Yosem Masi Shemaim Va'aretz. The actions of Tzadikim, because they build the Beis HaMikdash with both hands, are greater than the actions, than the creation of Shemaim and Eretz, where each of them was created with one hand only. Okay?
That's the actions of Tzadikim are the consummation of the creation.
Okay.
And
yeah.
The building of the temple will be as well when the Kohanim are reinstated.
It could not be. I mean, the Gemara is very strange because you can't say that a tzaddik is greater than a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah. So it's quite an enigmatic expression here in the Gemara. At any rate, says the Sefer Zerah Yaakov, we see Konuni Yodecha is a reference to building the Beis Hamikdash. Mikadosh Hashem Konuni Yodecha have fashioned the Beis HaMikdash, your hands have fashioned the Beis HaMikdash. The Masi Tzadikim, the actions of the Tzadikim fashioned the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Zerah Yaakov, that's Pshat in our Pasuk, Kever Yodai, according to the purity of my hands, Yoshivli, bring back the Beis HaMikdash. It's David HaMelech's davening for all time that the Beis HaMikdash should be restored to us. According to the purity of my hands, that the Masei HaTzadikim, it's that that will build the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore Yoshev Li, please bring back the Beis HaMikdash. That's how he explains this pasuk.
The Mishkan, I mean, that was fashioned by Bezalel and Oholiab, they were also referred to as being inspired by Hashem in actually making all the things for the Mishkan. And
yes,
this was
course,
sort of interim Beis HaMikdash.
Yes, sure. And that's Kemeni Adacha, made by the Tzadikim, Bezalel and Oholiab.
And because this Mishkan was also a microcosm of the world,
yeah.
Where all the Hilchos Shabbos was based on that.
Yes.
All the various things we can't do and so forth, based on the Malachos of the Mishkan.
Yes, yes, that's true, yeah.
Good. Okay, that's the Sefer Zerah Yaakov. Oh, let's come on to a beautiful piece written in the Sefer Chaim V'Hasholem from the Ben Ish Chai, Rabbi Yosef Chaim from Baghdad. And he comes up this is a lot of fun to learn this. He starts with the kasha. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, Daf Lama Test on a base. Yeah. Rabbi Yaakov says, it's exactly halfway down, Lama Test on a base in Kiddushin. Rabbi Yaakov says, Sechar Mitzvah Bahai Al Molecha. There is no reward for mitzvahs in this world. Reward for mitzvahs is in Olam Haba, not in this world. Schar mitzvah b'hai al malekah. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov. So he asks a kasha. The Ben Ish Chai asks a very funny kasha. He says we've got a pasuk. He says that Hashem should not reward us in this world. Goes against the pasuk in Kiseitse. What's the pasuk? So the pasuk is in Devarim chapter Kaf Dalet pasuk Tesvav. One minute. Let's get this. Here we are. Yeah. Where the pasuk speaks about paying workers. Yeah, when you pay a worker. Biyomo sitein sacharo. You shall pay the worker, the hired worker, on the day of his work. Don't let the sun set without paying him. Ki oni, who is a poor man, you've got to pay him. Lov, who knows se snafsho, and he's working, working his kishkas out for you, so you've got to pay him. The yomo sitin scho, you've got to pay his salary on the day of his work. I once had a beautiful story. I once had the amazing opportunity. I sat next to the late Diane Fisher, Zichron and Levracha, at a bar mitzvah. And, you know, he was the Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim. So I said to him at the beginning of the Suda, I said, Diane Fisher, I'm listening. I want to hear as many stories as I can about the Diane's time with the Chofetz Chaim. So he told me lots of things. He told me that he said that he was a young teenager, and he actually didn't, he said he stayed in the house of the Chofetz Chaim when he was a young boy. He lived there, and he said to me, I must admit, he said, I didn't like it. I said, what do you mean you didn't like it? He said he came from quite a comfortable background, and the Chofetz Chaim was so poverty stricken that he couldn't cope with the level of gashmius that the Chofetz Chaim lived. And he said, there were holes in the roof. He said, there were birds flying around inside. He said, you go to bed at night and the birds flapping around you all the time. He said, I couldn't cope with that. And he told me quite a few stories. One of the stories he said was he came back to the Chofetz Chaim's home one day, and the Chofetz Chaim said to him that there was a window broken in the Chofetz Chaim's house, and the glazier had come along earlier in the day to fix the window. Oh, no, sorry, I've got it slightly wrong. The glazier had come along in the day to fix the window while Dan Fisher, as a young boy, was at home. The glazier did the job, fixed the glass, and refused to take any payment. So the Yiddish fellow, and he said, I'm not going to take any money from the Chofetz Chaim, I'm happy to do it as a favour. And he went. Then the Chofetz Chaim came home, and he said, he asked Dan Fisher, did you pay the glazier? He said, no, I didn't pay him. So he said, hey, he didn't want any money. He said, no, he must be paid. And then the Chofetz Chaim went outdoors, had a quick look at the level of the sun, came running in. He said, well, the sun is about to set, quick, pay him and pay him now, here's the money, run to the house of the glazier and pay him straight away, but quick, you know, you've only got a couple of minutes to get there before sunset. Why? Don't let the sun set. I had to get that story in. It was a very rare opportunity I had of sitting with the late Diane Fisher, Zichron Livracha. So anyway, we have our pasuk in Kiseitse, chapter Chavdalad, pasuk Tesvav. B'yomus sitin tzchoro, mitzvah to pay a worker on time. So the Ben Ish Chai asks Akasha, how can the Gemara in Kiddushin Lamates Amud Beis say tzchah mitzvah b'hai amalekel, that there's no reward for mitzvah in this world? That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to pay us in this world, has to give us reward in this world. Why? B'yomus sitin tzchoro, you've got to pay on the day. And the day for a human being would be during his lifetime. And therefore, how can HaKadosh Baruch Hu keep all the reward for Olam Haba and not give any reward at all in Olam Hazeh? Hashem, by his own Torah, is mechuyav to pay us.
I would say this is only for material things. For things of a higher nature, spiritual things, Hashem pays in the next world.
Okay, that's a very good answer, of course. But his kasha is, according to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's own rules, so to speak, he's got to pay. Got to pay on the day. Pay on the day means pay during our lifetime as well. Not to the exclusion of Olam Haba, of course. No one in their right minds would swap Olam Haba for Olam Hazeh. But he says some rewards should be given in Olam Hazeh as well. B'yomus sitin tzchor, you got to pay on the day. Well, that's his kasha.
We say in the Siddur, these are the things you receive reward for in this world,
yes,
and the others in the next world.
Yes.
And the things are Gemiras Chasodin, Halbayas Hameis, you probably know.
Yeah, all the that's it. Yes, Kibbut Avim, etc. Yeah, absolutely. Maybe, I don't know, but maybe that Mishnah, which is a Mishnah in Peor, goes against, is a machlokus with Rabbi Yaakov. Maybe he's only asking on Rabbi Yaakov, is Rabbi Yaakov in the Gemara who says, Chai mitzvah v'hai al malekah, there's no reward for mitzvahs in this world. Maybe that's only according to Rabbi Yaakov. And that Mishnah may well go against Rabbi Yaakov. Mm. Might be a machlokus.
He had this problem with both of us, with the Zadok. Who were Talmidim?
Oh yes,
and that they cause this breakaway. Yeah. And you can, this is the beginning of the problem.
Yeah,
how you get Christianity?
Yeah.
Sadducees
and the Pharisees.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bisus. Yeah. Bisus and Sotuk.
Yeah.
I mean, the Sadducees themselves did not believe in the resurrection of the dead.
Really? Yeah. Wow. That's a basic.
Apart from believing in the old world. They did not believe in the resurrection of the dead as a principle of Judaism.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That was the beginning of our problems.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so we have this kasha. How can HaKadosh
Baruch Hu...
So we have the kasha. This is the kasha brought by the Ben Ishchai. How can HaKadosh Baruch Hu not pay us in this world when he himself has got a mitzvah of paying us of Biyomistit and Schor paying in this world, paying on the day, i.e. paying during our lifetime. That's his kasha. And he answers it from a Gemara in Bava Metzia, and it's on Daf Kuf Yud on the base right at the bottom, where the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanon, Ha'omer l'chaveru, a person who says to his chaver, say Sechor li polim, go and hire some workers for me, Shneihem ein overim mishum bal tolim, then neither of them will transgress the Avera of delaying, of withholding wages. So you've got the Avera, you're not allowed to withhold wages. But supposing the worker is not hired directly by the employer, but is hired by a shaliach of the employer, then neither employer nor shaliach would transgress the Avera if they pay late. Why? Lefi shelo sacharon. The employer would not transgress the Avera paying late. Why? The fish are less home because he never hired them himself. He did it.
One of our cousins, Shiva, that we had about Hilchos Shabbos. Well, I forget what the exact reference was, but if you send something, you sent it via a non-Jew, you're not liable. You don't transgress Shabbos as such. If you send it direct, you are.
It's a similar analogy. So he says, if the workers are hired by a shaliach, then neither the shaliach nor the mishaleach, the ultimate employer, is hired for paying late. Why? Zeh lefi shelo scharon. The employer is not hired because he never really hired the workers directly. Zeh lefi she'ein po loso etzlo. And the shaliach is also not hired. Why? Because they're not working for him.
I thought the shliach was a representative of the person who sent it.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, I've got the same kasha. So, but in this case, it seems it's a technicality that the employer would not be chayav because he is only chayav for paying late if he hires them himself. Okay? Says the Ben Ishchai, then we can answer our kasha. How can, according to Rabbi Yaakov, Hashem does not give us any rewards in this world? How can that be? Hashem surely is mechuv to pay us on the day. The answer is no, because Hashem hired us through a shaliach. He gave the Torah via Moshe. So we've been hired as workers, in quotes, workers for Hashem via HaKadosh Baruch Hu's messenger. Which messenger? Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to pay us on the day. And he can store up all the reward for us for Olam Haba, and therefore Shechar Mitzvah V'Hayo Molecho. Nice answer?
No.
Good, why not?
I wouldn't agree with that either.
No, I'm just not agreeing with it because, now I've forgotten why.
Okay, it's certainly within the realms of Drush, right? It's the whole kasha is a strange kasha to begin with. You know, how can Hashem not give us any reward in this world after all he's mechuv to pay on the day?
Yes, but as Louis was saying earlier about Pharisees and Sadducees and all the troubles that came upon our people, it led to to Christianity, where Jesus' message was that precisely your reward will be in the next world. You know, come to me, you meek people, you humble people. Turn your cheek, and your reward for doing all this will be in the next world, not in this one.
Mm.
Right. And that's the danger of that sort of explanation.
Okay, all right.
Good, okay. This is his answer is because the Torah is given to us through a shliach, Moshe Rabbeinu, therefore neither shliach nor mishaleach, neither HaKadosh Baruch Hu nor is shliach Moshe is chai for not paying us here in this world. Then he comes back with a rebound kasha on that. He says, aha, but two mitzvahs were given to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. And of course this is a reference to the Gemara in Makkos, and that's in Makkos at the bottom of Kaf Gimel on the base, where the Gemara explains the pasuk Amar Rav Hamnuna Maikra. What's pshat in the pasuk Torah Sivalonu Moshe, that the Torah was commanded to us by Moshe Merosha Kedas Yaakov. This is a pasuk in the beginning of Esther Sabracha, chapter Lamed Gimel pasuk Dalit. Torah Sivalonu Moshe Merosha Kedas Yaakov. Now the words says the Gemara explains Torah the Gematria. The word Torah's got the gematria shisma o v'chad tzerei 611. The gematria of the word Torah is 611. Torah tzivalonu Moshe. Moshe gave us 611 mitzvahs. Why? Because anochi v'lo yielecha mipi ha'gevura shamanum. The first two of the Aseret HaDibros of Anochi Hashem Nekecha Asher Hetzisicha Me'etz Mitzrayim and Lo Yielecha Elohim Acherim Al Ponai, those two were given directly by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those two mitzvahs were given directly by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Klal Yisrael turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think the Medrash says that they all died, and then there was Tchiz Hashem had to perform Tchiz Mesim, it's a Gemara in Shabbos.
The two commandments that the Christians did not accept.
Really? Ah, okay. All right. So at any rate, those two were given directly by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not via Moshe. Okay? And the Gemara says in Shabbos that the Klal Yisrael couldn't cope with the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly and they all died and Hashem had to perform Tchis HaMesim, and then Hashem said, okay, fine, I'll give the rest of the Torah via Moshe. Torah Sivalonu Moshe Merosha Kedas Yaakov. Torah was given by Moshe, 611 Gematria Torah given by Moshe Rabbeinu. I must add, when we were very young children, I'm talking about the age of, I don't know, 5 or 6 or 7 years old, I remember every Simchas Torah, my father would say to us, go to Rabbi Cooper and ask him for a Dvar Torah. And we used to toddle up to Rabbi Cooper, you know, we used to say, you know, can we please have a Dvar Torah? And I remember very clearly, I don't know how old I was, 6 or 7 years old, Rabbi Cooper said to me, oh, I'll tell you a Dvar Torah. And he told me this Gemara. He said, you know, the word Torah, Sivalonu Moshe, we're going to learn it, because there's a bracha, Simchas Torah, we're learning it, Torah, Sivalonu Moshe, it's got the Gematria 611, because 611 mitzvahs came from Moshe, and the first two came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. Interestingly enough, years and years later, when I started teaching, Rabbi Cooper said to me, Gematrias, children react to Gematrias, he said to me. He said, if you can, he says, try to include in your lessons some Gematrias, because children will react very well to Gematria, and it's got a, it'll give them a joy of learning to tell them some Gematrias.
Not just Gematria. I mean, these first two commandments were the only commandments that the Jewish people actually heard directly from Hashem.
Of course. And it's learned from the Gematria. It's learned, Gemara brings it as a Gematria. From the word Torah.
It comes from the historical truth.
Of course. Yeah, for sure. But the Renes is there in the word Torah. Yeah, Torah, Sivalonu Moshe. 611 came from Moshe, because two of them didn't. So, and it was years later when Rabbi Cooper told me, use Gematrias for teaching children. It then came back to me that when I'd gone to him as how old I was, 6 or 7 years old, and asked him for Dvar Torah, that's Simchas Torah, and he told me this Gematria, that was Rabbi Cooper acting on his own principles. I'm becoming all emotional now. Acting on his own principles, you know, to tell a little boy a Gematria. Yeah. Anyway, now, at any rate, let's come back to this. So the Ben Ish Chai says, so we understand that the Torah was given to us via a Shliach, via Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to pay us on the day. Yeah? But two mitzvahs were given without a Shliach. So surely HaKadosh Baruch Hu should repay us in Olam Hazeh for those two mitzvahs, because those two mitzvahs were not given via a shliach, right? Says the Ben Ish Chai, Yes, indeed, it is the case. For those two mitzvahs were given without a shliach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives reward in Olam Hazeh as well for those two mitzvahs. Even according to Rabbi Yaakov, who holds Chal Mitzvah B'Hai Amaleka, that there's no reward in Olam Hazeh for mitzvahs. For those two, which were given without a shliach, Hashem will reward us in Olam Hazeh. Now, says the Ben Ish Chai, that's what's going on in our Pasuk. Have a look again at Pasuk Kaf Aleph, and we're going to take it further into Kaf Beis. Yigmaleni Hashem Kitzidki. Hashem should repay me according to my righteousness. He should repay me here and now for my righteousness. Kavar Yod HaYashavi should repay me for the purity of my hands. Why should he pay me here and now, even in Olam Hazeh? Ki shamarti darche Hashem. Because I've kept the ways of Hashem, v'lo roshati me elokoi, and I've not become a rosha from before Hashem, from before my God. He says, this is a reference to the first two. Anochi Hashem elokecho. Hashem says, sichem es v'sam. And lo yiyye lecho elohim achirim alponai. They shouldn't have any other gods. That's v'lo roshati me elokoi. I didn't become a rosha in that aveira, in that mitzvah, I should say, of lo yiyye lecho elohim achirim alponai. I didn't reject those first two mitzvahs. So for those two, I can expect rewards even now here in Olam Hazeh. And that's what Yigmaleni Hashem Kitzidki. Hashem should repay me here and now for, even in Olam Hazeh, for which two mitzvahs? For those first two, Anochi Hashem Lekecha, and I kept V'leyeh Elecha Elohim Achim Alponai. I kept those two, and that's echoed in the next Pasuk Kapes, Kishmati Darche Hashem. I kept the ways of Hashem, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, V'leyeh Roshatim Elokoi. I didn't have any Elohim Achirim. Yeah, that's how the Ben Ish Chai learns these two pesukim.
And then the next verse is the column which quotes in a negative, the chukos of lo osir meni, and he's combining there. David's combining there mishpatov and chukosov.
Yes.
Which are not just the judgment in mishpat, but also Hashem's chukim, which are divine ordinances expressing divine tzedek.
Mm-hmm.
And the correct and justice is about combining the two, which comes back to an earlier explanation we had from you.
Yeah.
About mishpat and
tzedakah.
Yes.
It's interesting to note that these two mitzvahs you have, a Jew will give up his life rather than convert, to deny the existence of Hashem.
Yeah.
Even the most uneducated man, he doesn't know anything about Torah at all. The two things, for these two mitzvahs, he'll give up his life.
The Moranos did.
Examples of people throughout the Jewish history who weren't great tzaddikim. They give up their life. Kiddush Hashem.
Okay, let me finish off with a piece of Malbim, a beautiful pshat brought by the Malbim. Now, Yigmaleni Hashem Kitzidki, Hashem should repay me for my righteousness, Kaver Yod HaYashivli, He should repay me according to the purity of my hands. Now, the Malbim says that the word Yigmaleni is the root, Gimel Mem Lamed, is used to denote a reward for a positive feeling towards someone. It's a reward for a good thing done passively. Okay? So a person has a good feeling about someone else, he feels good for someone else, he doesn't actually do anything, it's a mitzvah done passively. Reward for a passive mitzvah is yigmaleni. Now, we've got a problem. Why? Because he goes on to say that the word kitzidki is an action. My righteousness denotes actions. He brings proofs which I didn't understand, that the word yigmaleni, gimel mem lamed, means a reward for something passive, while kitzidki is something active. Well, kitzidkosi. Okay, it's almost the same word. It's almost the same word. Kitzidki, kitzidkosi. It's come up. It's almost the same word. But today he says that the root gimel mem lamed is reward for something passive, while kitzidki is something active. The second half of the pasuk, kever yodai, according to the purity of my hands, he says, means withholding from doing an Aveira. My hands are pure because I have not done an Aveira. That's something passive. I held myself back from performing an Aveira. That's passive. While Yoshev Li, the word Yoshev, means returning something to me, is usually used for payment or for compensation, which is clearly something active. So what we've got here is a complete jumble. Yigmaleni Hashem Ketzivki, Yigmaleni is reward for something passive, but Ketzivki is something active. While Kaver Yodai is something passive, holding myself back from doing an Avera, that's passive. While Yoshivli is usually considered something active. So what's going on here? The whole pasuk is jumbled up. And he says, so at the moment, the pasuk would be easier to understand if it would be something like Yigmaleni Hashem Kever Yodai.
I don't think it is jumbled. I think it's a combination of active and passive. Otherwise, David wouldn't have put it in this way in his juxtaposition.
Exactly. This is the derech the Malbim takes. It says the Malbim, we've got this complete jumble of passivity and activity. Why? It's to teach us a lesson. Because if a person does a mitzvah, Hashem will reward him not just for the mitzvah, but also for the love with which he imbues the mitzvah. So if a person does a mitzvah that's active, Hashem will reward the love that the person has for the mitzvah. Hashem will reward that as though it was an action in its own right. So Hashem will give extensive rewards for even for something passive. That's the point. As though it were something active. And likewise, if a person holds himself back from doing an Aveira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will consider that as though he's actually performed actively a mitzvah. Withholding from an Aveira is considered as though he's performed actively, he's performed a mitzvah. While Hashem will reward for that as though he's actually done a kum va'aseh, as though he's actually done something active. And likewise, Hashem will reward not just the mitzvah itself, but also the love for doing the mitzvah. So Hashem is giving you the best of both worlds. He's rewarding not just for the mitzvah, but he's rewarding as well for the passive. The good things that are done passively, Hashem will reward those as though they were done actively. So when you do a kum va'aseh, when you perform a mitzvah, and you do it with love, Hashem will consider the love as though it was a mitzvah performed in its own right. And when a person holds himself back from doing an Aveira, Hashem will consider that as though it was a mitzvah performed as well. So therefore we have this jumble of Hashem rewarding actively, even for something which is passive.
Yes, of course it can. Yeah, for sure it can. Yeah. It's not like even if a person does a mitzvah bin adam lamokum,
but he performs it with love, the love is rewarded as though it was a mitzvah performed in its own right.
Yeah.